Okay, I am recording the audio. Let me make sure my volume is turned up enough. Bear with me in just another moment. Okay. I have my volume turned up as high as I can. So Cody, tell you what, if you wouldn't mind still sharing your screen for the meeting, that would be helpful. And we will just have to rely on this audio recording to serve this meeting. And again, because it will be an audio recording, it will be imperative that everybody please state your name before you speak. Thank you.
Can everybody see the PowerPoint?
Yes.
Excellent.
Okay, Madam Chair, we are ready whenever you are.
Good morning. This is Rosemary Mahan, and I am the Chair of the Commission on Local Government, and I welcome everyone here this morning. Just a few housekeeping matters before we begin the meeting. I'm going to request that everyone please stay muted unless you're speaking. Please make sure you state your name, especially today, as our video recording is not working as well as it should be. So we are auditorially capturing the minutes, capturing this meeting. So it's imperative that you state your name before speaking. And note that this meeting, once again, is being recorded. I'm going to ask David now to make a statement regarding the proceedings of this meeting for the record.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. Again, this is David Conmey. Due to the governor's declared state of emergency due to COVID-19, it is impracticable and unsafe for the Commission on Local Government. May I ask everybody who is not speaking to please mute? Thank you. Let me restart. So due to the governor's declared state of emergency due to COVID-19, it is impracticable and unsafe for the Commission on Local Government to assemble in a single location. So the commission meeting will be held electronically by video conference and telephone options pursuant to 2020 amendments to the 2020 Appropriations Act. The purpose of the meeting is to discuss or transact the business statutorily required or necessary to continue operations of the Commission on Local Government and discharge its lawful purposes, duties, and responsibilities. The public is welcome to use the link and phone number options made available by staff to attend the meeting electronically. The Commission on Local Government will make a recording or transcript of the meeting on its website in accordance with the timeframes established in sections 2.2-3707 and 2.2-3701.1 of the Code of Virginia. And again, I will just reiterate, we are doing an audio recording of this meeting because of technical challenges with the video recording of the Google Meet platform. Furthermore, I will also add that members of the public attending this meeting who would like to comment on the administration of the electronic meeting may direct your comments to the Virginia FOIA Advisory Council using a linked form that staff can share with you, and I am going to copy and paste that link into the chat box of this meeting. But if anybody needs to access that, please reach out to me directly. And thank you, Madam Chair. I believe that concludes my remarks.
Thank you, David. Now I'm going to ask that David please do a roll call vote of all the commissioners to indicate they are present and confirm there is a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, this is David Conmey. Commissioners, when I state your name, please unmute yourself so I can record your vote. Commissioner Amix?
Present. Mike Amix speaking.
Yes, and we can hear you. Thank you. Commissioner Davis?
Stephanie Davis, yes.
Commissioner Mahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Linderman?
Yes.
And Commissioner Reynolds?
Yes.
Madam Chair, you do have a quorum.
Thank you. I believe everyone received the packet or has access to the packet. So I'm requesting for an approval of the draft agenda.
So moved. This is Diane Linderman.
Kimball Reynolds, second.
Okay, so that has been moved by Ms. Linderman and seconded by Mr. Reynolds. All commissioners, please unmute yourself and let David call the roll.
Okay, again, this is David Conamy. Commissioner Amix?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Stephanie Davis, aye.
Commissioner Linderman?
Aye.
And excuse me, Commissioner Mahan, I skipped over you.
Aye. That's okay, aye.
And Commissioner Reynolds?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, next we have approval of the minutes of the regular meeting on September 17th. We should have two sets of minutes in your packet, but this will be for the minutes of the regular meeting on September 17th. Do I have a motion?
I move approval for the approval of the October minutes. The September minutes?
September minutes.
And this is Diane Linderman.
Okay.
Stephanie Davis, second.
Okay, so that motion has been made by Diane Linderman and seconded by Stephanie Davis. All those in favor, please unmute yourself.
Okay, this is David Conamy. Commissioner Amix?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Stephanie Davis, aye.
Commissioner Mahan?
Aye.
Commissioner Linderman?
Aye.
And Commissioner Reynolds?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, we will now discuss the minutes of the special meeting that was held in October. I will entertain motions for those minutes as well.
And Madam Chair, before you entertain that motion, I just wanted to point out that staff have structured stylistically the minutes slightly different from what you've seen in your previous format. This will streamline them and make them consistent with all other boards and commissions that DHCD staffs, and quite frankly, it will also streamline production of the minutes by staff.
Thank you so much. Do I hear any motions?
So moved, Mike Amix.
Okay.
Second, Diane Linderman.
Okay, so that motion was made by Mike Amix and seconded by Diane Linderman. All those in favor, David, please call the roll.
Okay, this is David Conamy. Commissioner Amix?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Stephanie Davis, aye.
Commissioner Mahan?
Aye.
Commissioner Linderman?
Aye.
And Commissioner Reynolds?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, David. I'll now open up the floor for public comment. Is there anyone, Cody, is there anyone who is pre-registered to speak?
Madam Chair, nobody registered.
Okay. For closing the floor, is there anyone who didn't register but would still like to speak? Okay, I close the floor at this time. And I will now hand the meeting over to David for the Policy Administrator's Report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, this is David Conamy. Just a few items worth updating the commissioners on. First is the Martinsville reversion case. I reached out to counsel for the City of Martinsville and counsel for Henry County, requesting a status update for purposes of sharing with the commission at today's meeting. What I'm about to read to you is a word-for-word description of what they shared with me in their update. So they said, and this was from Stephen Peepgrass, speaking on behalf of the City of Martinsville and Henry County. Discussions continue. Our next scheduled meeting is November 20th. We are currently working on a joint reversion-related legislative package with a view that it would be pursued over the next two sessions of the General Assembly. We anticipate jointly funding the lobbying effort and also expect to seek both VML and BACO's assistance in pursuing it. Many of the excellent recommendations in COLG's recent annexation, or excuse me, in COLG's recent alternatives to annexation report are incorporated in the package, and we hope it will be of assistance to other localities throughout the Commonwealth as well. We also have been discussing other substantive areas that would need to be addressed as part of a global resolution. The parties presently intend to work with the schedule established by COLG, and at this time, we do not expect a need for a further extension of COLG's reporting deadline. If that changes, we certainly would give you as much advance notice as possible. And thank you, Cody, for advancing the slide. This slide is just intended to provide the commissioners again with a reminder of where we are in the review process. Of course, again, the case was filed with the commission on Friday, September 18th. On October 14th, the commission held a special meeting to schedule a review in consultation with the parties. That review schedule was adopted, and at that time, the commission extended its review deadline by 60 days, which it has the authority to do so within Chapter 29 of Title 15.2. What you'll see after the October 14th deadline are the remaining milestones in this process. Of course, we are still comparatively very early in these stages. On Friday, December 1st, 2020 is the deadline for materials and exhibit responses by Henry County to Martinsville's petition. Simultaneously, that date is also serving as the date by which the parties could submit voluntary settlement agreement, material exhibits, and supportive resolutions if their negotiations regarding the reversion statute are resolved in some fashion. And then beyond that, you see as we get into early January, Friday, January 8th, 2021, is the deadline for staff and commission to complete a request for additional information from both parties based upon what they've provided in their petitions and responses. It's also the deadline for the parties to provide city and county space where documents are available for public inspection. And finally, it's the deadline for the parties to advise staff if a court reporter will be used during the proceedings, which is not something that is necessarily required. Those were really the only two dates that I was going to highlight in the review schedule, because beyond that, we start getting into early March with the additional milestones. But I'm happy to answer questions on the review schedule if there are any. Otherwise, I will proceed with the rest of my policy administrator's report. And hearing no additional comments by commissioners, I will also just proceed with the rest of my report to remind all commissioners of the Conflict of Interest Act reporting responsibilities. Every year on February 1st, your annual disclosures are required to be filed. You'll receive an automated email on this topic in the next few months. In addition to that, there are training responsibilities as it relates to COIA. Every 2 years, each commissioner is required to follow the COIA Advisory Council's recorded online training. Based on my records, every commissioner whose term continues into next year has their training due in 2021. And here are the dates that I have on file for everyone. So, Commissioner Amix, your training deadline will be November 3rd, 2021. Commissioner Davis, your training deadline will be June 18th, 2021. Commissioner Linderman, your training will be November 5th, 2021. And Commissioner Mahan, your training will be November 3rd, 2021. And I'm happy to provide and will provide everyone a link to that POIA training at the conclusion of this meeting. Beyond that, in agency news, DHCD continues to be engaged with multiple efforts related to the COVID-19 pandemic, including a new effort related to municipal utilities. And of course, there are a number of other existing efforts on broadband, rent and mortgage relief, and others. As it relates to the municipal utilities, there will be a reporting requirement regarding municipal utilities from the CLG with a December 31st due date and subsequent due dates in 2021 and other additional milestones, including 90 days after the declared state of emergency. The reporting requirements are anonymized and essentially a summary of data on various metrics as it relates to municipal utility arrearages throughout the Commonwealth. DHCD is, of course, also facilitating the Virginia Governor's Housing Conference next week. This is going to be an entirely online conference, and I believe there are several commissioners who are attending that. So I hope you enjoy and look forward to attending. As far as staff activities are concerned, we have the 2021 General Assembly session coming up. And it seems like that will be electronic again, similar to the special session over the summer. And so there will obviously be a number of steps related to that, including recruiting our FIS volunteers. I would now like to open the floor for other staff if they would like to share any other details on staff activities with members of the commission. Right. Well, hearing no comments from staff, we will just move on to the news articles. Again, standard procedure. I've shared a number of news articles with the commission. Again, many of these are related to the ongoing COVID-19 pandemic. The first two articles in the packet really spoke to school funding and just school division operations in general. You'll see that one article spoke to the drop in average daily membership among the school divisions, and estimated a loss of 35,000 students across the Commonwealth this year, which would have translated into a loss of $146 million in basic aid funding from the state. During the special session over the course of the summer, there was an amendment put in place that would compensate for that unexpected loss in funding and hold school divisions harmless. Obviously, many students are either withdrawn from school, have enrolled in private school systems, or are just learning at home. And that's the reason for the significant drop in attendance. And then there's just a smattering of other articles on a number of local issues, including the legislative agenda for the town of Leesburg. For the past several years, they have included requesting an exception on the moratorium on the creation of new independent cities in the Commonwealth that would make that eligible for any town with a population of 40,000 or greater, which would make it eligible for not only Leesburg, but also Blacksburg. They have removed that legislative request this year due to ongoing negotiations in a joint land management area between Loudoun County and the town of Leesburg. There was an article that alluded to elections in the city of Martinsville and debates among various local candidates, and reversion was mentioned in that article. Another interesting matter that came up through the 2020 regular session of the General Assembly was collective bargaining for localities, which was a power that they previously did not have. In this article is from the perspective of the City of Portsmouth, which adopted that optional, or is using that optional power granted to it. And the article goes on to point out that Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina are the only states that had blanket bans on collective bargaining among local public employees. And again, several other articles of a variety of local government topics. I'm happy to answer any questions on that, or certainly answer any other questions that I've, or any other information that I've addressed in my policy administrator's report.
Hello, David, this is Kimball. First of all, hello to everyone. I apologize for missing our meeting in October. October 4th, I found myself unexpectedly in the hospital and had surgery on the 12th and was in recovery during that time. And so I apologize for not being able to get word to you and certainly for not being present. David, as it relates to the conflict of interest, I don't know how much you shared with them as far as my conflict of interest related to the city of Martinsville and Henry County. But if necessary, I'm prepared to read into the record my conflict and certainly recusing myself from those discussions.
Thank you, Commissioner Reynolds. I did mention that at the commission special meeting on October 14th. It's certainly, if you would like to vocalize that yourself for purposes of the record, that's certainly an option.
Sure, I would like to do that. I think it's clear from the code section that was presented to us. I think that's code 15.2-2906. That, as well as the canons of conduct, particularly canons 1, 2, 3, and 9, that I am disqualified. I should avoid any appearance of impropriety. My real property ownership interest in both localities, Martinsville and Henry County, disqualify me. Also, I frequently serve as a court-appointed counsel and guardian ad litem in cases in both the Martinsville and Henry County Juvenile and Domestic Relations Court. Henry County Attorney George Lyle serves as the attorney for the Martinsville-Henry County Department of Social Services. Additionally, I enjoy a professional and personal relationship with the City of Martinsville Attorney Eric Mundy and members of his family. My past service on Martinsville City Council as mayor, Vice Mayor would run counter to promoting public confidence, independence, and impartiality of the commission. So if I could just have that as a part of the record. And I'll apologize in advance, but I'm also going to have to leave at 12 today from this meeting.
Thank you very much, Commissioner Reynolds, and please forgive me for not also expressing my well wishes to a speedy recovery. It's good to see you back at it with us at the November Commission meeting.
Well, good to be here.
Okay, thank you, Commissioner Reynolds. And thank you, David, for your report. I believe now that there is a presentation concerning 2020 cash proper survey and report.
Hi, Commissioners. For any, most of you guys know me. My name is Cody Anderson. For the sake of folks who are listening to this later on, I am the Legislative Affairs and Boards Coordinator for the Virginia Department of Housing and Community Development. I'm also staff for the Commission on Local Government. Today, what I'm going to be sharing with you is the 2020 Cash Proper Survey and Report. This is something that happens each and every year. Every locality in the state is reached out to. They're required to report any propers that they received within the previous fiscal year and the expenditures of propers during that year. So my goal of today is to kind of go over the data as collected and kind of just give a report of what we found. So moving forward, again, here are the definitions for the for what a proper is. It is stated in code. I'm not going to, for the sake of the recording, I am going to read everything on the slides just for clarity's sake. So a proper under state code is a voluntary offer from a property owner as implied by code section 15.2-2296, and can be an act, donation of money, a product, or service that limit or qualify how the property subject of the conditions will be used or developed. And a cash proffer specifically is a form of conditional zoning that are generally used to offset an offset the impacts of a particular development. Those that are eligible are any county with an urban county executive form of government, meaning Fairfax, or any city, county, or town with certain adjacent or contiguous proximity to counties with urban executive forms. Also, any locality with a decennial census growth rate of over 5%, or cities, counties, and towns with certain adjacent contiguous proximity to localities with a 5% growth rate. And then the code also makes a specific exemption for New Kent County to accept profits. What you'll see here is a visual representation of what I just stated. It essentially just shows you areas that are authorized to accept proffers. On the next slide, here are the overhead results. So the expenditures this time around equaled $64.8 million, which was a 17.3% increase, which is a little different from the trend, and we'll see that on a slide coming up. Revenues equaled $97.87 million, which was a 30% increase. This year, we had 5 cities, 23 counties, and 3 towns that reported cash profits collected. This is 2 total localities less than in previous years. So if we look at this slide, it'll essentially show you exactly what I just said. We have a slight downtick in the number of localities that accepted proffers in the this last fiscal year. One thing that's important to note, so we'll see that there was kind of a peak in 2016 and a downward slope. That can possibly be contributed to legislation that came in 2016, which placed restrictions on the ability of localities to request unreasonable proffers. It is worth noting that in 2019, there was a change to legislation that struck part of that original 2016 legislation with a goal of removing most notably the word request and change that word to require. This was a change that was built in to protect localities, so that if a locality were to request or mention any kind of proffer, there wouldn't be any legal repercussions for that, only if they required it. So it layered in a little bit of flexibility for the localities. But as you can see, between 2019 and 2020, there wasn't an uptick. So it's to be seen if in the future we see an uptick going forward. Moving on to the next slide, while we did have less localities accept, as you can see, we actually had a rather large increase in revenues and expenditures, which is interesting. And again, we'll have to look forward to the next couple of years to see if we have a trend going or if this happens to be an outlier. On this slide, you'll see that we have a graph of all of the total expenditures by localities. It is worth noting that in 2016's legislation, it also reduced the number of categories in which a locality can collect proffers for. And I'll go into further detail later in this presentation. But it is worth noting that things like some of your biggest categories, such as parks and recreation, roads and transportation, and schools, are those categories. And we've seen other categories that are no longer permitted as of the 2016 legislation shrink. It is important to note that a locality has 12 years to expend what they've collected. So even though things like stormwater management aren't mentioned in code, they could have collected in the past and just not expended it since that 12-year period has not expired yet. So moving on to this slide, essentially just seeing the trend over time, and you'll see that there was a slight uptick from 2019 to 2020 for some of those permitted categories such as roads and transportation and schools. So trends, as I mentioned previously, the effects of the 2019 legislation are yet to be determined. I think we're going to need at least a few more years to decide what kind of effect that change in the law had. Under revenues and expenditures, again, as I mentioned, there was an increase, but I do think it's worth noting that, as we all know, we're in the midst of a pandemic currently, so it will be interesting to see what kind of effect the pandemic will have on building across the state. So going back to the 2019 legislation, there is a possibility that we won't know the effects of that till even further down the line due to adverse effects of the pandemic and its effect on our economy. And then this last trend, again, compliance. You'll see that since the 2016 legislation that I already mentioned that reduced the categories, most of the categories that are the top top three categories are in compliance. One of the categories in the top four is not, but again, you have that 12-year window in order to expend those proffers. So we can expect in the next couple of years for this to dwindle down even further and see very clearly that the four legal areas will be the only areas that we track. So that is the presentation. You should have most of the basic information in your packet, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Cody. Does anyone at all have any questions for Cody? Okay, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to accept the presentation and information that's been provided in the packet.
So move, Mike Amick.
I respect
Kimball Reynolds.
Okay, so the motion has been made by Mike Amick and seconded by Kimball Reynolds. All those in favor, David, would you please call the roll?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is David Conmey. Commissioner Amick?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
I think you may be muted.
I will come back to her again at the end. Commissioner Mahan?
Aye.
Commissioner Linderman?
Aye.
And Commissioner Reynolds?
Aye.
And one more time, Commissioner Davis. Okay, we will just note in the record that she did not vote on the cash proffer report, but nevertheless, the report still passes.
I'm here. I'm sorry. I could not find my screen. I apologize. I don't understand why that happens. Stephanie Davis, aye. Thank okay. you.
Thank you.
Okay, and then I believe in your package you also have a list of the regular meetings, the proposed 2021 schedule. So David, would you present that, please?
Thank you again, Madam Chair. This is David Conmey. So as you can see on the screen, these are the commission meeting dates that are being recommended by staff for those of you for purposes of this recording, and for those of you participating via phone, I will just read through all of this for the sake of clarity. So the 2021 schedule that is being proposed by staff is based on existing meeting precedent from 2020, which was that the commission would meet on the second Thursday in odd-numbered months. There are six meetings that are required by statute, and that's in the code. So the first meeting would normally occur on Thursday, January 14th, 2021. I have identified some dates and other events around all of these that may influence whether or not the commission would like to reschedule. Around the January 14th date, we have Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Monday, January 18th, 2021. January 14th, 2021 is also the second day of the 2021 General Assembly session. That's tentative, but based upon provisions in the Constitution of Virginia, I don't see why the date would change. Nevertheless, staff's recommendation for the January 2021 commission meeting date is to consider Thursday, January 7th, 2021 as an alternative. Then moving on, the Thursday, March 25th, 2021 would be the March commission meeting date. Again, that's also not following the regular meeting cycle. I believe that's either the third or perhaps even the fourth Thursday in March. And the reason for that is this would be instead in alignment with the review schedule that the commission adopted for the Martinsville reversion case. So it would just behoove the commission to be harmonious with that review schedule, especially because a number of matters and proceedings will occur, whether it's the public hearing or oral presentations, all within that particular week with, again, the commission regular meeting scheduled for March 25th. Then moving on to Thursday, May 13th, 2021, another date that has been raised in the past by commissioners of the past was Mother's Day, so I always make sure to include that as a factor in our meeting schedule. So that's the Sunday, May 9th, 2021. Then moving on to July, Thursday, July 8th, 2021, the only date around which there could be a conflict is, of course, Independence Day. That will be observed on Monday, July 5th, 2021. In September, the commission would meet on Thursday, September 9th, 2021. Labor Day is, of course, Monday, September 6th, 2021. Then for November, Thursday, November 11th would be the commission meeting date. Notable dates around that time are, of course, Election Day on Tuesday, November 2nd, 2021, and Veterans Day, which is Thursday, November 11th, 2021. I will also note that at this point, all meetings will be held electronically during the governor's declared state of emergency. And once the declared state of emergency has been lifted, it's likely we would revert back to in-person meetings. And we would go back to the traditional physical location, which was the Virginia Housing Center in Glen Allen. Happy to answer any questions that the commissioners may have on this. And also just to remind commissioners that this would require your deliberation and approval at this meeting.
Madam Chair, this is Diane Linderman. I have a question.
Okay.
You guys have off on Veterans Day, right? On November 11th. Wouldn't we want to reschedule that meeting?
Oh, you're right. I'm so sorry.
Same question.
Thank you. I don't know why I have that on there and why I didn't factor that in. Thank you for pointing that out. I suppose the alternative would be either for the commission to either meet on Thursday, November 4th, 2021, or Thursday, November 18th, 2021. But certainly any date within November is an option.
And Madam Chair, this is Diane Linderman again. I think, do you know when your housing conference is? Because I think that also has caused us to think about what that a good date would be.
Thank you for that, Madam Chair. This is David Conmey. Normally, the Governor's Housing Conference is generally the week before the Thanksgiving holiday. So Thursday, November 18th may be less ideal compared to Thursday, November 4th.
Yeah, this is Kimball Reynolds. The proposed January 7th date, I would not be able to attend that day for because of a number of court cases that are currently set.
Well, I believe the proposed date was November 4th, correct? Not November, December 7th?
That's right, Thursday, November 4th. Commissioner Reynolds, was your comment related to January or November?
January.
Oh, my apologies. I'm sorry, I was still in November.
It's okay.
And Commissioner Reynolds, and perhaps this may be revealing your hand, which you may do so, and your term technically ends December 31st, 2020, but if you are choosing to seek reappointment, then yes, we would need to factor that in. So thank you for that, and I think that is worth considering.
Is there another date in January that may work better for this?
I have my calendar before me. So if Thursday, January 7th does not work, it's possible the commission may wish to think. Historically speaking, the commission also met on Tuesdays. So certainly Tuesday, January 5th, 2021 could serve as a reasonable alternative. And I may also suggest, and again, this is David Conmee, I can also poll the commissioners on the January commission meeting date with a doodle poll, so we can hone in on a date that works for everyone. But I would suggest that the commission adopt a date for sake of scheduling purposes, and if it does not work, then we could initiate that doodle poll for rescheduling purposes.
Does anyone have a problem with, start here. Does anyone have a problem with January 5th? Hearing none. I'm going to make suggestions.
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. I was getting to my calendar. I do have a standing Tuesday. Well, I have a 10 o'clock appointment on Tuesdays. At 11 o'clock, I might be coming in at the last minute, but I could do it.
Okay. Anyone else? Would moving the meeting 30 minutes in, like until 11:30, would that help you at all, Diane?
It would. It would let me get up and move around a little bit before getting on another call.
Is that a possible consideration for everyone? I'm seeing heads nod. For purposes of the recording, do we need to maybe speak?
Madam Chair, from staff's perspective, I see nothing on my calendar that would reflect a joint meeting among staff. I can't speak for everyone, but staff can be certainly flexible on this.
Okay, and then I guess the other date is in November, when we talked about November 4th rather than November 11th. Does that cause a problem for anyone? I'm not hearing anything, so I'm assuming that November 4th is a potential date for that. Okay. Does anyone have any problems with the other dates that have already been provided? Options that have been provided. Okay, well, I will entertain a motion to accept the schedule as amended.
I
I'll make
this
a motion.
This is Diane Lynn. Oh. Go ahead.
Stephanie Davis, I'll make a motion to approve the schedule as amended.
And this is Diane Linderman. I'll second it.
Okay, so the motion has been given by Commissioner Davis and seconded by Commissioner Linderman. David, would you call the roll call, please?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is David Conmey. Commissioner Amix?
Aye.
Commissioner Davis?
Stephanie Davis, aye.
Commissioner Mahan?
Aye.
Commissioner Linderman?
Aye.
And Commissioner Reynolds?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Okay, and then any upcoming events of interest?
So first of all, my apologies. I neglected to include this in your packet, but there really aren't very many events that are coming up of notes other than the Virginia Governor's Housing Conference, which again is next week from Wednesday through Friday. Again, I believe several members of the commission are attending the conference. The Virginia Association of Counties, their annual conference, which was also online, just wrapped up. The only other event, aside from the General Assembly session that's on the horizon, is 2021 Local Government Day. VACO and VML and VAPDC, which is the Virginia Association of Planning District Commissions, collaborated on a group event for the 2020 session. I suspect they will be doing the same for 2021, but again, with the COVID-19 pandemic being the wrench thrown in the machine that it is, I'm not entirely sure what their plans are, but just keep that in mind going forward for next year.
Okay, thank you, David. Okay, so does anyone else have anything else that they'd like to add before we adjourn this meeting? Okay, well, I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
This is Diane Linderman, so moved.
Mike Amick, second.
Okay, so I've got a motion and a second for adjournment. Thank you all so much today, and have lovely holidays ahead.
Take care, everyone. Enjoy the holidays.
Thank you.
Stay safe out
there.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.